All right, Rabbi, say good morning. Let's begin. So we left off last night. Yasher Koach to everyone, Baruch Hashem, who came to meet for the fast, and those who learned on their own. I'm sure after the fast, it's part of the beauty of Daf Yomi. Mamish stops for nothing and no one. So I'll say, so therefore again, the Gemara says as follows. We're on top of, we left off on the top of Chaf Dalit Amud Aleph. Mamish, the first line. Amr Boshia. Boshia says as follows. So this is continuing on the theme we started last night. Last night we started the case of a person who sets aside two bundles of money for his carbon. But again, not a replacement, but rather what? An insurance. Right? I set aside the first bundle again for my carbon, and the second bundle ultimately again is my insurance in case I lose the first. So this case of Osai is, I'm going ahead and I'm doing the same thing with animals. So I set aside two animals. One is the chatos, and one is the insurance, the proactive insurance in the event that I lose the first. So what's that loch? Miskaper ba'achos mehen. I use one of them ultimately to affect my kapara. The chaverta roa. And again, the other one is set out to pasture. And again, I will say, the Gemara stops saying it fully now, but again, set out to pasture, develop a mum, redeem it, use the money for kachim. Aliba deman. So we'll say, whose opinion does this reflect? So remember, everything is looping back to the machlokis of Rabbi and the Rabbanon and the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, aliba deman. According to whom? Ilema aliba de Rabbanon. If at the end of the day you say it's according to the Rabbanon, hashta hamafrish le'ibud. So we'll say, remember again, as we mentioned last night, mafrish le'achrayis is a much more kal, is a much more lenient case than mafrish le'ibud, right? When you're actually designating a replacement animal for an animal which has been lost. So if in the case of an animal which has been lost, and now one is separating out an animal, a replacement animal. So we'll say, if in that case, the Rabbanon say that the replacement animal does not have the status of the lost animal, la'achrayis mi boy, then certainly again, when it comes to achrayis, an insurance animal, of course, ultimately again, it's going to be set out to graze. El alibud Rabbi Shimon. I'm sorry, I said right before I met Rabbi Shimon. Alibud Rabbi Shimon. Rather, it must say that the statement is meaningful according to Rabbi Shimon. Why? Ha'am Rabbi Shimon. Chamish chatos mesos. One second, Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that there are only five chatos offerings that are left to die. So it can't be according to Rabbi Shimon. Ela alibud Rabbi. Rather, it must be ultimately again in accordance with the position of Rabbi. Why? Ki amar Rabbi be ibud. We both say, when does Rabbi say that if ultimately again you lost the chatos and then you had a replacement that the and then you find the original, that the original is put to death, is left to die? When do you say that? That's only with a replacement animal. Ultimately, again, if the animal that was ibud aval achrayis lo. But an insurance animal, or an insurance, in this case, insurance animal, you would not say that. In other words, even Rebbe would agree that in this case of the insurance animal, you go ahead and you offer up one as a chatos, and ultimately again, and the other is left to graze. To which the Gemara says, Tnan, hamafish chatos vahari ba'alas mum, if one separates out a chatos, and the chatos is a ba'alas mum, as a mum, therefore it can't be offered, mochra, you sell it, umevi acheres tachtel, and you bring another animal in its stead. Rabbi Elazar Shimon says, "In karva shnia kodem shnishchata rishona." So we'll say, now watch this. So remember, in this case over here, what's interesting about this particular case is, although the balmum cannot be offered up, it still has kiddusha because it was set aside as a chatos. So we'll say, so the shaylin now is, what's its status? So now watch this. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says as follows: Im karva shnia kodem shnishchata rishona. So if the second animal, which is the replacement chatos, was offered up before the first animal ultimately again was slaughtered, then tamus. Then ultimately again, the first animal, the ba'alas mum, is left to die. Shekvar kipru ba'alel, because we'll say this is considered to be a chatos whose owners achieved atonement through another animal. And as we've seen already before, when the owners achieve kapara through another animal, the first chatos is left to die, or I should say, the other chatos is left to die. So ultimately, again, I might have thought that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi. Vafilu ba'achrayis nami lo. I should say, vafilu ba'achrayis nami lo. Therefore, I will say, even in the case of achrayis, this would be the truth, to which the Gemara says, Dilma Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar, but Rabbi Shimon ka'avu asfir lei. Maybe not. Maybe Rabbi Elazar, but Rabbi Shimon holds like his father, Da'amar, Chamesh Chataos Mesos. And that he only subscribes to the concept of death by a chatos in the specific five cases. So tonight, let's analyze it again. Lefi shein chatos tzibur mesa. So I say, man, this going back to yesterday's daf where we learned. The Gemara said that a chatos tzibur is not left to die. So we inferred from that statement, ha diyachid mesa. I can infer from that the chatos of a yachid is left to die. To which the Gemara says, Amarav, Ba'ali Chayin ein nidchim. So Rav said, remember again, we had this in yesterday's daf, that Ba'ali Chayin, in general, whenever you have karbanos, ein nidchim means that they are not set aside from their sacrificial sanctity. Therefore, Kishu miskaper b'sheni shebezog yishon miskaper. We'll say, remember again, this is going back to the case of the Shnei Asi'irim. By Yom Kippur, I have to draw lots for two goats. One goes la Hashem, one goes la Azazel. Let's say again, I draw the lots and I lose the Seir La Azazel, for example. So what's the halacha? You bring another pair. So let's say this was yesterday's daf. We brought another pair, right? We redraw the lots. Then I will say, so inevitably, what ends up happening? You end up having an extra goat, right? Why? Because remember, again, when I bring the second pair, I'm drawing the lots because I need a replacement Seir La Azazel. But I already have what? I already have a Seir La Hashem from the first pair, which means now I have an extra Seir La Hashem. So what happens, Rabbi Osai? So Rav says, Ba'ali Chayin Ein Nidchin. So ultimately, again, sacrificial animals are never set aside. Kishu Miskaper, when you achieve Kapara, B'sheni Shebezug Risho Miskaper. You still use the leftover animal from the first pair. V'idach, the second animal, which means the leftover animal from the second pair, Havil Achrayis. Rabbi Osai is treated like an insurance animal. The katani the yachid mesa, and ultimately, Rabbi Osai. But yeah, what did we just see? We saw over here that what that Allah Kalamais. We could infer from this that if the same situation were to play out by a carbon yachid, that ultimately, again, the replacement animal, or in this case, the insurance animal, would be left to die. Rav l'tame damar mitzvah barishon. So Rabbi Osai, Rav goes according to his reasoning, because he, Allah Chalamaisa, holds that the mitzvah is still to use the first animal of the, or I should say the leftover animal of the first pair. Tani Rav Simi Bar Ziri Kamei Drapapa, Avda B'Shas Hafrasha, L'Rebi Mesa, L'Rabban Antira. So comes along Rav Simi Bar Ziri, and says in front of Rav Papa, that if the animal was lost B'Shas Hafrasha, so we'll say, if you look at Rashi over here, Rashi says, first of all, if you look at Rashi, Rav Savarlok Rabbi Yossi, there are mitzvah barishon, Tiktani Gabi Psoch. Well, actually, we don't have to do this. No Rashi yet. Avda B'Shas Hafrasha, if the animal was lost at the time of designation. So the Rebbe Mesa, according to Rebbe, ultimately, again, the extra animal is then left to die. The Rabbanon Tira, according to the Rabbanon, it's left to graze. Avda B'Shas Kapara, what happens if it was still lost at the time that the replacement animal was offered up? The Rabbanon Mesa, according to the Rabbanon, is left to die. The Rebbe Roa, according to Rebbe, is set out to graze. Kal v'chomer, Uma Avud B'Shas Hafrasha. They both say, if the animal was lost at the time that the replacement animal was designated, which the Noah is saying, that ultimately the animal was lost before, was still lost, but again, retrieved before the actual act of Kapara. So it was lost at the time of Hafrasha, what we call designation, up until Kapara. Dami Rabbanon Roa. In that case, Rabbanon will say that the extra animal is set out to graze Amar Rebbe Mesa. Yet in that case, Rebbe holds that the animal is left to die. Therefore, again, Avuda B'Shas Kapara. Certainly an animal that is still lost at the time when the Chatos is offered, to the Rabbanon Mesa, where even the Rabbanon hold that Halacha L'maisa, the extra animal is put to death, the Rebbe L'Kol Shekin, according to Rebbe, is it not certainly like that? Ela Tani Hachi, rather, here's how you have to teach it. Avuda B'Shas Hafrasha, if the animal is lost at the time of Hafrasha, which again, Abosa means Hafrasha, means the carbonic process up until the time of Shechita. The Rebbe may, so according to Rebbe, the replacement animal is left to die. The extra animal. The Rabbanon Roa. According to the Rabbanon, ultimately, again, it is left to graze. B'Shas Kapara, but Allah Chalamaisa, again, if it's at the time of Kapara, ultimately, Divrei HaKol Mesa. Both say everybody will agree that Allah Chalamaisa, the leftover Chatos, at the time of Kapara, at the time of slaughtering, it will be left to die. So we'll say, we already saw this in the Rambam yesterday, the halachos concerning replacement chatos. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Tan Rabbanon, we'll say an interesting halacha, Ein Margilin B'Yamtiv. I will say Margilin is actually interesting. I think this is referenced on Shabbos's daf. Yeah, on Shabbos's daf in the Mishnah. So Margilin, I will say, means the act of removing the hide from the feet. See, if you wanted to, what's the word? Not dehide. What's the skin? If you wanted to skin the animal, you want the hide whole. So what they would do is, essentially, you would hang the animal upside down. And what you would do is you would peel back the hide from the feet. And you'd be able to remove the hide in one piece. Obviously, removing the hide in one piece is a bigger hide and a more valuable hide. So the Gemara says like this, Ein margilin biyomtiv. We do not remove a hide like that. It's called margilin because it starts from the regel, right? It starts from the feet. So we do not go ahead and remove the hide in this way on Yomtiv. Kiyotsebo ein margilin bebechar. Similarly, again, we do not do this process of hide removal by a bechar, v'lo b'psuli hamokdashin. Rabbi say, nor do we do it by psuli hamokdashin. Remember, the case of psuli hamokdashin, Rabbi say, means what? An animal that was set aside for a carbon, then became disqualified because of some reason, was then redeemed, and now you want to shecht it. So the Bryce is telling me, we don't do skinning process, right? This skinning process, this removal of the hide, this margilin in these three cases. Number one, on Yomtiv. Number two, on Bechar. Number three, Psulei HaMakdashim. Bishlama b'yomtiv, dekat tarach tircha de l'chazilei. I understand on Yomtiv I don't do it. Why? Tircha yisera. Extra effort. So you both say, again, on Yomtiv, you're not allowed to do things that have too much effort. So therefore, again, the act of skinning an animal in this way from the feet is very labor-intensive. Very labor-intensive. You can't do it on Yom Tov. Ela bechar mantana. But why can't I do it to a bechar animal? Amrav chista beis shamayi. Because it reflects the view of beis shamayi. What does beis shamayi say? The amar bechar b'kdushasi koi. Because beis shamayi holds that a bechar retains its kedusha, and because it retains its kedusha, apparently it's considered to be a lack of kavod to a sacrificial animal to go ahead and skin it in this way. I guess because you have to hang it upside down for a prolonged period of time. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, it's a lack of kavod for the sacrificial animal. To which the Gemara says, this stand beishamay over, because beishamay says, lo yimani Yisrael ima koin ala bechar. We'll say, actually, interesting halacha, beishamay holds that a Yisrael may not eat a bechar animal with a koin. Now, why is that unique? Because we'll say, we know that once the bechar becomes the property of the koin, essentially, legabi the koin, how is it treated? Like a regular animal. Yet nevertheless, Beis Shammai says, for the koin it's a regular animal, but the koin may not invite over his Yisrael neighbor to join him in eating the bechar. Why not, says Beis Shammai? Because the bechar retains its kedusha. So apparently, again, the Brais will say, because it retains its kedusha, ein margilin, you can't skin it in this way. To which the Gemara says, psuli hamukdashin mantana. So what does psuli hamukdashin have to do with this? To which the Gemara says, amrav chistor, I should say it differently. So who is the opinion who says that you can't skin it? You can't skin psuli hamukdashin in this way as well. Amrav chistor, Rabbi Elazar b'shimini. It's Rabbi Elazar b'shimini. The sanya, hayu lefan of shtei chatos. If a person had two chatos offerings in front of him, achas temima v'achas ba'alas mum. One was a whole animal, one was a ba'alas mum. So what's that halacha? Temima tikarev ba'alas mum tifta. So again, this is one of those good obvious cases. You offer up the one that doesn't have a mum, right? And you go ahead and you could shecht the other one, you redeem the other one, and what? So ba'alas mum tifta nishchita ba'alas mum. Achlo nizrak damo shel tamima. So ultimately, again, if halacha lemaisa, the balas mum was shechted before the blood of the tamima was sprinkled, muteres. Ultimately, again, the animal will be the balas mum is muter. However, mishen nizrak damo shel tamima. But if ultimately, again, it was only slaughtered after the tamim was offered, asura. Then ultimately, again, I will say in this case, the balas mum will be asur. Why is that? If you look at Rashi Asura, it's five lines up before it gets short. Because we'll say, interestingly enough, this will be treated like a case of a leftover chatos whose owners achieved kapara ultimately, again, whose owners achieved kapara through another animal. And therefore, halacha lemaisa will be asur. Rabbi Shimon Omer, afilu basar ba'alas mum bekidera. Rabbi Shimon says, even if the ba'alas mum, even if the meat was already in the pot, v'nizrak dama sheltamima, and then the blood of the tamim was sprinkled, yotzi lebeis ha'sreifa. Ultimately, again, you have to go ahead and throw out, literally, and discard the meat of the ba'alas mum. In other words, Rabbi Shimon is saying that ba'alas mum will always have the din, ultimately, again, of psuli hamukdashin, and will always have the status of a leftover chatos whose owners achieved kapara with another animal. Therefore, again, I will say, he's the opinion, quoted in the Braisa, that by psuli hamukdashin in margilin, because they still have kedusha. But Rav Chista, lukma idi v'idi ke Beis Shammai. Why doesn't Rav Chista just set up both cases like Beis Shammai? It's because dilma ki ka amri Beis Shammai bevachar. Because maybe Beis Shammai only holds that in margilin you can't skin the animal in this way by a bechar. Why by a bechar? Ultimately, again, because it has the kedusha, because it is holy from the womb. Aval psuli hamukdashin lo. But ultimately, you know, when it comes to psuli hamukdashin, maybe Beis Shammai doesn't hold it. In other words, we'll say, just because Beis Shammai holds that a bechar retains its kedusha, and therefore, halacha l'maisa, you can't skin it in this way that we call margilin. That's because Bechar already has a Kedusha Merechem. Although I will say, we're going to see the next Mishnah speaks about Bechar. We're going to see what Kedusha Merechem actually means. It doesn't really mean in the womb, but rather it means as it's coming out of the womb. Psuli HaMukdashin doesn't have that halacha. Sinebe Shammai himself would hold that maybe you can skin the Psuli HaMukdashin in this way. Velukma idi v'idi kerbelezer Rav Shimon. I say, why don't you go ahead and set up both cases of Bechar and Psula Mekdash like Rabbi Rav Shimon? Dilma ki amar Rabbi Rav Shimon Psula Mekdashin. Da'ali mi limitvas pidyonon. So ultimately, maybe Rabbi Rav Shimon only holds that if Psuli HaMukdashin ultimately again, that has their Kedusha, and therefore in Margilin, why? Because they are Kaddish enough that ultimately, again, you could redeem them for money. Their sanctity transfers. Avaba Bechar lo. Rabbosi, remember again, Bechar is one of those sacrificial items that you cannot transfer the sanctity onto money. So because you can't transfer the sanctity of money, maybe the Kedusha of Bechar is less. And therefore, maybe Rabbi Shimon would hold Margilin that you can skin it in this way from the feet. Rabbi Shimon less lay, ha this na, but does Rabbi Shimon not subscribe to the following halacha? Kol psuli hamukdashin, nishchatin be'itliz, v'nimkarin be'itliz, v'nishkalin be'litra. But 1 second, Rabbi Shimon says as follows: what's the halacha when it comes to psuli hamukdashin? Which you're going to say, just to be very clear, animals that were set aside for sacrificial purposes, but then developed the mum, now can no longer be offered up, but still retain sacrificial sanctity, have to be redeemed. So we'll say, where do you redeem them? You could redeem them in the marketplace, right? You could check them in the marketplace. You could sell them in the marketplace, and you could weigh them against regular weights and measures. Now, we'll say, remember again, what's the reason for that? Even though, again, it would appear that treating sacrificial items, right, selling them in the marketplace, seems to be a lack of covet, but LMI, why? Because you get more money. Right at the end of the day, remember again, because this money is going to the Beis HaMikdash, we want you to fetch the highest price. Therefore, we allow you to go to the open market, even though it looks a little bit strange, to sell sacrificial animals in the shuk. To which the Gemara says, what do you see from here? Alma, kevan deshari slay, tafi v'zabin. Right? Ultimately, you know, we'll say, so what do you see from here? You see from here that halacha l'maisa, once we allow you to do something, we allow you to do it in the best way possible, i.e. in the way that benefits Hekdish. So now understand what the Gemara is asking over here. So Rav Shimon says that if you have a psuli hamukdashin, you can sell that in the marketplace. Why? Because you fetch the highest price. Because at the end of the day, when we talk about redeeming this, the redemption money goes to the Beis HaMikdash. So if we allow you to go ahead and sell it in the marketplace, the Beis HaMikdash benefits from it. Oh, so if that's the case, you should let me skin Psuli HaMukdashin in this Margilin way, right? You should let me remove the hide whole, right? Why? Because we'll say, what happens? More money. Right? You could sell the hide for more money. Remember again, we'll say, who is the money for the hide going to in the case of Psuli HaMukdashin? Going to the Beis HaMikdash. If that's the case, why does he hold a margilin that you can't remove the hide like this by psuli hamukdashin? To which the Gemara says, very simple. Amar Rav Mari Brei Rav Kahana, mashmashbiach ba'ar pagam bebasa. Because they both say, that which you benefit from in removing the hide this way compromises the meat, compromises the flesh. So what you gain, what you will gain ultimately again from the ability to sell the hide for a higher price, ultimately again, you will lose in the basar. They both say, isn't that an incredible idea? So this is like the metaphor for Olam Hazeh. Olam Hazeh is all about choices. All about choices. And every choice comes with some amount of collateral loss. There's no such thing as a choice there's almost no such thing as a choice that's absolute good with no fallout. Right? Every choice has ramifications. You know, the Chafetz Chaim mentions this. When we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Rofei Kol Basar. Right? The Rofei Kol Basar Umafli Lasos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the healer of all flesh. Umafli Lasos. And does wondrous things. So the Chafetz Chaim says something amazing. He says, I don't know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not the only Rofei Kol Basar. Baruch Hashem, he gives man the ability to heal as well. So he says something amazing. He says, you know what the difference between HaKadosh Baruch Hu's healing and man's healing is? When man heals one thing, it generally comes at the expense of something else. Right? So you know where you see this most acutely, Rahman al-Itzlan? Like in cancer patients. When a person is receiving chemotherapy, Rahman al-Itzlan, lo aleinu. So what happens? So the chemo is effective, but it kills off the cancer. Right? It also does what? It kills off everything else. Right? It can shut down an entire immune system. So here it is, I'm attacking a disease, I have to do this, but at the end of the day, again, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Rofei Kol Basar Umafli Lasos. The Pela of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there's a holistic healing. He can heal everything without diminishing or compromising anything. And it's the same thing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in general, not just with healing, but Ribono Shel Olam is able to make absolute good. Able to create absolute good, and his decisions have the ability to be absolute good. But in Olam Hazeh, pretty much, if you choose the hide, you compromise the meat. If you choose the meat, you compromise the hide. Now, again, I will say, both good choices, solid choices. But Lamaisa, you can't have your hide and eat your meat too, right? At the end of the day, life is filled with choices. And I will say, this, by the way, this is exactly what the Ramchal is saying, right? Isn't this the Midah of Zahiros? The Midah of Zahiros says, when you make your choices in life, just understand every choice comes with benefits from the choices and repercussions from your choices. That's why I need the Midah of Zahiros. The Midah of Zahiros tells me, think things through before you choose. Because every choice has intended and unintended consequences. And often we get ourselves into the most dramatic amount of trouble in life when we make decisions in a vacuum and we do not think about the ripple effects and the repercussions of our actions. You want a whole hide? Fantastic. Go for it. Understand you're not going to get as much meat. You want more meat? Enjoy it. Fantastic. Just understand you won't get as much hide. And if you make your decisions understanding the ripple effects of the ramifications, then ultimately that leads to more comprehensive and better decision making. So therefore, again, I will say, this is Pasha that Rabbi Elazar Rishimin is saying. Right? This is not my idea, this is his idea. So ultimately, therefore, Rabbi Elazar Rishimin says, Halacha Lamaisa, you can't do this by Psuli Hamokdashin. Why? Because if you remove the hide this way, ultimately you're compromising Kodesh meat. To which the Gemara says another reason you can't do it. Marava Mishmeid Rabbi Avin Ivneshinir Kobid Avodu Kodshim. In our Tzolos, there's a different reason. Why can't you remove the hide from the animal this way? Because ultimately, again, it looks like you are working with kachim. It looks like you're working with the sacrificial animal. Because it was like, again, the act of removing the hide this way is very labor intensive. So it looks like you're working with the a consecrated animal. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Abin Amr Gzeira, Shemi Gadol Mehem Adarem Adarem. We'll say this is great. What are we concerned about? We're concerned that halacha lemaisa, you're going to go ahead and create flocks of sacrificial animals. Now, what good does that do me? So it does a lot of good if what? If it develops a mum. Once it develops a mum, then what? I could redeem it. So, of course, the value will ultimately go to the Beis HaMikdash, but halacha lemaisa, the hides could be exceptionally valuable. So we'll say, so bottom line, halacha lemaisa, the Braisa tells us, if you look at Rashi, Adarim, the Isharis Leila Hargil Mashilu, Velo Shachit Achi Izdamnu Lo Nifachim. va'asi legadl adarin va'asi deitakal legiza va'avoda psulei mukdashin asurim begiza va'avoda fila achar pidyonon. So again, we never want you maintaining flocks, right, or herds of animals of sacrificial sanctity out of a concern that you may come to misuse it. So bottom line, therefore, the Braisa says, Ein margilin, you may not remove the hide in this specific way, on Yom Tiv, because it's tircha yisira, on a bechar, because again, we pass in like Beis Shammai that the bechar animal has kedusha even after it is slaughtered, and by psuli hamukdashin, either again, because you end up diminishing the meat, or ultimately because it looks like you are doing work with sacrificial animals, or because we are concerned that you will then maintain the animal to raise herds of these type of animals. Hadron alach vlad chata. So we'll say mazel tov. Keitzad ma'arimin ala bachar. We'll say this is an incredible case. How do you go ahead? So we'll say, listen to this situation, just to describe this to you. I have an obligation to bring a karban. Say for argument's sake, I have an obligation to go ahead and bring a chatos. So what happens? My animal is pregnant. Now, obviously, again, I don't know if my animal is going to have a male or a female. If my animal has a male, so what I would like to be able to do is use that as my, we'll call it Ola, because that's the case of the Mishnah. I'd like to be able to use that male as my Ola, right? So in other words, what I'm trying to chaperain over here is I'm trying to get out of Bechar and go ahead and, because if I have to give Bechar, that means I have to give that animal to the Kohen, and then I need to bring another animal as an Ola. So instead, I'd like to chaperain a little bit, and I'd like to try to utilize this firstborn male animal as my Ola. How can I do that? Now, I will say, now this Mishnah is shocking. Why is the Mishnah shocking? Because what's the opening line of the Mishnah? Ketzad ma'arimin al ha-Bechar. Which means what, Rabbi Osai? How can you circumvent the laws of Bechar? Wow. It hurts the ears. Right? It hurts the ears. So you're going to see why the Mishnah is giving us this Eitzah. So Ketzad ma'arimin al-Bechar. So how do you go ahead and circumvent the laws of Bechar if you want to get out of Bechar in order to go ahead and offer up this firstborn animal to satisfy your Ola obligation? Here we go. Here's the case. Mivaker shaisem u'ubere. So we'll say, now we're going back. Take a step back. I have an animal that's about to give birth to its firstborn. Obviously, I don't know if it's a boy. I don't know if it's male or female. Omer mashav me'ah. So I say like this. I make it tonight. Omer mashav me'ah shalzu. Im zachar Ola, Ola, Ola. So we'll say, I make it tonight. And the tonight is, I say, if my animal gives birth to a zachar, I hereby declare that ultimately, again, the zachar should be an ola. Now look, we'll say, now watch this. Rashi says, so what are the mechanics? Yolda zachar yikar, all this is incredible. The bechar, lo kadosh ela meirechem. Now we'll say, if you notice again, the Shita Mikubes, this changes that from birechem to meirechem. One letter changes everything. Birechem means what? In the womb. Meirecha means from the womb. When does a bechar become kadosh? When the forehead of the animal or the robe of the body of the animal, if it's being born feet first, comes out. A bechar is not kadosh in utero. It is only kadosh when the animal begins to emerge from the womb. That is different, however. V'cheivan demeikara at v'sei b'kedusha achrisi sulo chayla kedusha tchara. I'll say, watch this. Incredible. So what am I doing over here? I am designating this animal, or I'm endowing this animal, with sacrificial sanctity before the Bechar sanctity devolves upon it, right? The Bechar sanctity only devolves upon it when it's emerging from the womb. But yet, you could make an animal, an Ola, apparently, again, we'll discuss this, even in utero. So we'll say, once I make it an Ola, that Kedusha comes before Kedushas Bechar, and therefore, halacha lemaisa trumps kedushas bechar. Incredible. So if it's a zachar, ola yalda zachar. So yikariv ola. So we'll say it works. Halacha lemaisa, if the firstborn animal in fact is a male, because the kedusha of ola preceded the kedusha of bechar, I could offer up this animal as an ola. Vim nekeva. But then the second part of the tanai is I say, and if the animal is in a keva, if it's a female, zivchei shlamim. I say, you know what? The female should be a shlamim. Now, why I have to make it tonight with a female, we'll discuss. Because everybody, remember again, what am I trying to accomplish over here? I'm trying to remember circumvent Bechar. I'm trying to repurpose this animal from Bechar to Ola. So why I have to deal with females, we'll talk about it in just a little bit. But so this is the second part of my tonight. And if it's in a keva, I'll offer it up as a shlamim. Yolda Nekeva. Tikar Shlamim. Therefore, Allah Lamaisa, if the mother gives birth to a Nekeva, the female will be a Shlamim. Im Zachar Ola Bim Nekeva Zivche Shlamim. They both say, so again, in this case over here, I make the same Tanai. Same Tanai. If it's a male, it'll be an Ola. If it's a female, it'll be a Shlamim. But in this case, Mazel Tov, Yalda Zachar Unikeva. The mother gave birth to twins, a male and a female. Hazachar Yikarev Ola. Ultimately, again, the male will be offered up as an Ola. Vanikeva Tikarev Shlamim. Fine, no problem. All is good, right? All is good. The Tanai worked out perfectly. Again, I've also said the case over here is presupposing that what? The male came out first, right? The male came out first, so no problem. The male becomes an Ola, the female is a Shlamim. Watch this. Mazel Tov, Yalda Shnei Zecharim. The mother gave birth to twins. But in this case over here, two males. Two males. What do I do over here? Echad mehem yikarev Ola. So we'll say, ultimately, again, one will be offered up as an Ola. V'hasheni yimacher lechai ve'Ola. The second animal should be sold to someone else who has to bring an Ola. V'dam av chulin. But the monies I receive from the sale are chulin. Now, what is this? Look at Rashi for just a moment. This is incredible. Yol v'shnei zcharin, al shneyen chala kiddushas ola. Now, what ends up happening over here is both of these animals are vested with ola sanctity. The ha'amar im zachar yehe ola. Because let's remember again, I don't know what the animal is pregnant with. So what was the wording of my tanai? The wording of my tanai was, if my animal gives birth to a zachar, it should be an ola. So therefore, the Mishnah is explaining that halacha lemaisa, omihu lo nader elachad. They both say, this is an interesting case. On one hand, I said, if it's a male, it should be an ola. On the other hand, what? I only pledged what? One animal as an ola. But I have two zachars. So therefore, the Mishnah essentially says, what do I do? Hilchach, yikrav echad lenidro, vabei zimach letzarchar elas. Therefore, how do I deal with that? One of the males will be offered up as the ola, and the second one should also be utilized as an Ola, but not me, I don't have to bring it, right? I sell to someone else, ultimately who has to bring an Ola, but the monies themselves will be treated like chulin. What about Yolda Shtei Nekevas? What about, again, if the mother gave birth to two females? So what's that, Locha? And I remember again, what was my Tanai? The Zachar should be for an Ola, the Nekevas should be for Shlamim. So what's the Halacha? Achas Yemti Karev Shlamim. One of the females should be offered up as a shlamim. Vashniya timakir lechayv shlamim. And the second one should be sold to someone who is chayv in shlamim. Vidamei aluchulin. And ultimately, again, but the monies received from the sale will ultimately be chulin. Ah, yaldo tumtum ba'adrogenis. What happens if the mother gives birth? Rabbi said this is going back to the case of one offspring. What happens if the mother gives birth to a tumtum or androgynous? Again, so remember, in these cases, I don't know if it's a zachar or an akeva. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, Ein Kiddusha Chal Aleihem. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, in that case of Tumtum and Androgynous, so carbonic Kiddusha does not devolve upon such an animal. Right? There's no Kiddusha that devolves upon such an animal. Fine. So go, so let's analyze the Gemara. I'm Rav Yehuda. Let's finish. I'm Rav Yehuda. Mutter the Hatel Mu'am Babachar. So we'll say, Rav Yehuda says as follows. We'll say an incredible case. Rav Yehuda says, you are permitted to actively blemish a Bechar. Incredible. You're permitted to actively blemish a bechar. Kodim sheyetz la'avir olam. They both say, now the truth is, this makes sense. Well, it kind of makes sense. Right? You could blemish a bechar before the bechar emerges into this world. Because we'll say, now again, essentially, all Rav Yehuda is saying is what? What do we just say in the Mishnah? When does bechar status begin? When the animal begins to emerge from the womb, which means as long as the animal is in utero, it does not have kedushas bechar. So what Mishnah was telling me, therefore again, what I could do is I could confer upon it a separate type of sacrificial kedusha, even though again, that sacrificial kedusha will dislodge, will prevent the kedushas bechar from ever devolving upon the animal. So Rabbi Huda says, by the way, along the same lines, you could apparently reach into the mother, go ahead and blemish the Bechar so as to prevent Kiddushas Bechar from ever devolving upon the animal. So the Gemara says, Tinan, Omer Adamashe V'meh Shal Zu Ola, Ola in Shlam. So we'll say, let's analyze this. So Omer Adam, a person could say, we learned in the Mishnah, Omer Adam, Mashe V'meh Shal Zu Ola, Ola. So we'll say, remember again, What was the case of the Mishnah? The case of the Mishnah is, I have a mother animal that is pregnant with its first child. I want to be able to use the Bechar, bless you, for something other than actual Bechar, to satisfy my obligation. So we'll say, so what the Gemara is being medayik over here is as follows. So the Mishnah says, I can make the Bechar into an Ola. The Rabbah said, just so you understand, in the realm of Karbanos, Ola has greater sanctity than Bechar. So the Gemara is suggesting, maybe it's Dafka, an Ola that I can make it into. But for example, if I wanted to make it into a Shlamim, that would not work. Why? Because Bechar has greater sanctity than Shlamim. Look at Rashi, Ola in, Hoil v'kalil hi, shar l'shanuye k'dushas Bechar d'k'dushasa, ava Shlamim d'k'dusha kalihi, asr l'shanuye l'chatchila k'dushas Bechar d'k'dushasayu. V'kosh k'in sh'asal hatil b'amom. They will say, what I can infer from the Mishnah is as follows. When can I go ahead and redesignate the Bechar? Only when I'm taking it from a lower Kedusha to a higher Kedusha. But if I were to designate the Bechar animal, or I should say the firstborn animal, as a Shlam, that wouldn't work. Why? Because you can't go ahead and bring the Bechar down in Kedusha. Well, using that same logic, what else should I not be able to do? I also shouldn't be able to reach into the mother, blemish the animal, and prevent it from ever achieving Kedusha as Bechar. To which the Gemara says, Va'at Amrit, Dematzis mafkis le mikdushasa. So I will say, if I am not permitted to go ahead and make a Bechar into a Shlamim, because that is considered to be a lower form of Kedusha, only into an Ola, which is a higher form of Kedusha, then certainly I should not be permitted to what? To actively blemish the animal while it's still in utero. Amr l'charad Yehuda, no. Hani mili bizman shebeis hamikdash kayum. Ki ka'amina ana bizman hazeh. I will say to which Rav Yehuda says, when did I say, work backwards a little bit, when did I say that halacha l'maisa, you are permitted to actively blemish a Bechar animal in utero so as to prevent it ultimately again from acquiring Kedushas Bechar? Bizman hazeh. Now meaning what? When there is no Beis HaMikdash. Since this Bechar can't anyway be offered up in the Beis HaMikdash, there is no problem with proactively blemishing it in utero so as to prevent Kedushas Bechar from devolving upon it. When is the Mishnah talking? Right, the Mishnah that says ultimately what? The Mishnah that says halacha lemaisa, that you could only redesignate the Bechar to something of higher Kedusha. When is that, Rabosai? That's during the times of the Beis HaMikdash. During the times of the Beis HaMikdash, if you want to carbonically repurpose Bechar, and proactively carbonically repurpose Bechar, you can, as long as you repurpose it to something that has a higher level of sanctity, not to a lower level of sanctity. But Bizman HaZeh, when there is no Beis HaMikdash, you can even proactively blemish the Bechar so as to prevent Kedushas Bechar from devolving upon the animal. Says the Gemara, Bizman HaZeh, Maila Memra. So what's the Chiddush? If you have Bizman HaZeh, where again the Bechar itself is never going to be offered anyway. So ultimately, again, what is there to say? In other words, we'll say, what's the Havamina? Of course it's permitted. Remember, I will say, with no Beis HaMikdash, I can't do anything with the Bechar anyway. If I can't do anything with the Bechar, of course there's nothing wrong with actively blemishing it. Again, remember, what's when I say actively blemishing it when? When? In utero. Before what? It acquires Kedushas Bechar. Obviously, I will say, again, if a Bechar animal was born, to actively blemish it, you couldn't do. Even when there is no Beis HaMikdash. So this is when there is no Beis HaMikdash and I can't offer it, there's certainly no problem with proactively blemishing it. So what's the Chiddush? 3 minutes, I'll tell you. Ma'u Dema, what would I have thought? Nigzar Dilma Nafik Rov Rosho Vikashadi Beimuma. So I'll say, because I wouldn't be concerned as follows. Perhaps I would have said that we would be concerned with Halacha L'maisa anytime allowing you to proactively blemish the animal even in utero. Why? Because maybe someone will make a mistake and wait until when? Wait until some of the animal, let's say part of its head, emerges, in which case it's already considered to be born, in which case it already has Kedushas Bechar, and then you're actively naming a Bechar animal, to which the Gemara says, I would tell you even in that case, Ve'ema Hachinami, even in that case, I would say that it's still better. Why? Ha'adifa made the Asi Beili De Giza Va'avoda. I will say, ultimately, again, the truth is, to be honest, it would still be better to go ahead and inflict a mum on a Bechar even after it's been born than to maintain it. Why? Because if you maintain it, you run the risk of what? You run the risk of ultimately doing work with it, and shearing it and utilizing it, which is problematic. Now, both said, to be clear, the Gemara is not advocating, so just to understand, what the Gemara is saying is like this. If there's no Beis HaMikdash, then what's the chiddush of allowing me to inflict a mum in utero? To which the Gemara says, the chiddush is, I would have thought that maybe we don't want you to lechatchila inflict a mum in utero, even when there is no Beis HaMikdash, lest you come to inflict the mum when the animal already has kiddushas bechor, like it's when it's being born. To which the Gemara says, the truth is, we're okay in taking that risk. Because at the end of the day, we'd rather run the risk of you inflicting a mum upon a partially born Bechor, which already has Bechor status, than have a sanctified Bechor. Because having a sanctified Bechor while it sits around with no Beis HaMikdash is problematic. Why? Because you may come to work it, you may come to shear it, which is even more halachically problematic. And Abbas say, this is indeed how the Rambam paskins halacha l'maisa in Perek Beis halacha yudalid. So just to understand how the Mishnah is reading, say for the Gemara's understanding over here like this. The Gemara's, and we'll start with this, we'll stop. The Gemara's understanding of the Mishnah is like this. That halacha l'maaseh, the case of the Mishnah, I am repurposing a firstborn animal in utero. And what I'm doing is I'm giving it the kedusha of another karban before it acquires the kedusha of the Bechar. What type of karbanic sanctity am I giving it? Ola sanctity. Why Ola sanctity? Because that's higher than Bechar sanctity. Why do I have to give it Ola sanctity? Because the Mishnah's talking about when? When there's a Beis HaMikdash. When there's a Beis HaMikdash, in order to go ahead and prevent the Bechar status from devolving upon the animal, you have to give it even a higher carbonic sanctity before it acquires Bechar sanctity, i.e. while it's still in utero. Rav Yehuda's statement that you could proactively maim, you could actually proactively cause a mum in a Bechar animal while it is in utero, is when? When there is no Beis HaMikdash. Since the animal anyway is not fit carbonically, therefore, you can proactively cause him. Rabbos, listen to this. Rama Paskins, with this will stop. Mutter lahatil mum b'bechar kodim sheti la'avira olam v'yishchat alav. Rabbos, say, Allah, I said, Rama Paskins, that you are permitted to proactively cause a mum in a bechar before it emerges from the mother. But when it, calm down, right? Calm down before you start naming bechars, right? When is that? Bizman hazeh she'in sham bayis. When is this permitted? Only when there is no Beis HaMikdash. Then you could proactively go ahead and maim the Bechar in utero, because you can't do anything with it anyway. But when the Beis HaMikdash stood and the Mir Tzah Hashem will stand again, such a practice will be Asr.